This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration is designed to prepare students to lead in the social sector by combining classroom learning with field education and five focused pathways. The final deadline for the program is April 1st. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. So the primary election in Illinois is over, and the headlines are that both Joe Biden and Donald Trump won their respective primaries with ease. That was expected. But the big story here in Chicago is Bring Chicago Home, that referendum, and it looks like that initiative is going to fail. We're going to talk about why and what that means with WBEZ reporter Tessa Weinberg. Tessa, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So, like I said, it looks like Bring Chicago Home could be heading toward a defeat. But before we dig into that, what are the other big results from yesterday that people need to be aware of right now?
Yeah, so like you had mentioned, we saw Joe Biden and Donald Trump easily win their presidential primaries. Those were quickly called, I believe, about like 15 minutes after polls closed.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, there's still also some tight races in the Cook County State's Attorney's race. These are the candidates who are vying for the Democratic nomination to succeed Kim Fox. It was still too close to call last night. Eileen O'Neill Burke was slightly leading over Clayton Harris.
We are cautiously optimistic, but we have to make sure all the votes are counted. But I know that we can agree that this has been a hard-fought campaign.
And there was, I believe, less than 10,000 votes between them as of late last night.
Let's march forward, hand in hand, towards a future where safety and justice are not just aspirations, but the reality here in Cook County. We will have a lot more to say once all of the votes are counted.
And we still have mail ballots outstanding. And so we'll see if that sways things one way or another. And, you know, in some of these congressional races, we saw incumbents win out with Congressman Chuy Garcia, Congressman Danny Davis, both fending off challengers who were trying to unseat them.
As you mentioned, there are absentee ballots that are still out, over 100,000. Do you think that's going to really sway anything with any of these races or with Bring Chicago Home?
Yeah, I think for the really tight races like the state's attorney's race, you know, we would want to wait and see how those mail ballots maybe sway things one way or another because it was so close. Bring Chicago Home, there's a little bit more ground to make up. I believe as of late last night, there was still, you know, 20-some thousand votes separating them. And in order for that to pass, supporters would need a majority. And so we'll see, you know, when those start to come back. There's nearly 110,000 mail ballots outstanding. And the Chicago Board of Elections says, you know, typically they won't see all those returned. It might be between 80 to 85%. And we probably won't know till closer to the end of the week. Maybe over the weekend, we'll start to see a large number of those come back. So we'll still be waiting some time, a few days, to really know the final results.
Yeah. This was also a primary race for Congress. Anything surprise you so far with that?
You know, it was interesting to see, you know, incumbents really hold on to their positions. I think we saw a lot within both Republican primary and the Democratic primary of politicians facing opponents who were arguing they were, you know, more conservative or more far right compared to their opponents. I think we saw that in the 4th congressional district race where Congressman Jesus Chuy Garcia is a longtime progressive powerhouse here in Illinois and was facing a challenge from Alderman Raymond Lopez, who is, you know, also a Democrat, but, you know, appears on Fox News, is more conservative than Garcia.
Tonight, we showed everyone across the country paying close attention to this race that hate and the right wing attempt to hijack our movement will not succeed.
I think we saw a similar thing play out downstate where former Republican gubernatorial candidate Darren Bailey lost and conceded to current Representative Mike Bast in the GOP primary. And I think Bailey was, you know, coming at it from a more conservative angle. And we'll see if, you know, this defeat, you know, what this means for next steps for his political career. He, you know, voters probably remember him from when he challenged Governor J.B. Pritzker for the gubernatorial race. And so we'll see. It was interesting to see, you know, incumbents hold on to their seats, especially, you know, like Danny Davis, who had a crowded field challengers, but that probably played to his advantage as, you know, voters were maybe split between more candidates rather than just having one single opponent to choose from.
Mm-hmm. I know that there was an attempt at a protest vote. Some advocates for a ceasefire in Gaza were encouraging voters to write in the word Gaza instead of a specific person or checking a specific box for the presidency.
Yes, exactly.
Can you talk about that? What was that, and how does that end up working out in Illinois?
Yeah, so, you know, activists were calling on Democratic voters to either leave the presidential choice on their ballot blank or to write in Gaza as a writing candidate to protest Biden's handling so far of the ongoing effort in the war between Israel and Gaza. But, you know, state election officials here in Illinois said, you know, when it comes to those write-in ballots that folks will be counting, they're only going to really be accounting official write-in candidates. So we aren't going to know in Illinois, you know, definitively how many people maybe wrote in Gaza for that. You know, other states have an uncommitted option that could, you know, give that count, but we don't have that in Illinois. So it really, you know, will, you know, be unknown how many folks maybe went that protest route.
Okay. Let's go ahead and get into Bring Chicago Home. So this was a question on the ballot about Chicago's real estate transfer tax. I felt like this was the buzziest thing on the ballot this year. And there was a bunch of back and forth about whether the votes for this would even be counted. Mm-hmm. First of all, can you just quickly explain the legal battle that preceded the actual vote?
Yeah. So, you know, like you mentioned, this was a proposal to ask voters whether they want to increase a one-time tax on the sale of high-end properties to fund homelessness prevention. But, you know, it's a complicated proposal. It's actually three tiers where property valued under $1 million would see a tax cut in their tax rate. Property valued over $1 million would see an increase, and then property valued over $1.5 million would see the highest. Mm-hmm. And, you know, part of the structure of that question was why it faced legal challenges. Real estate industry groups who opposed this measure had sued, and it was kind of considered an 11th hour lawsuit. They filed it in January to try to block this question and to have votes not be counted. They argued that it was an example of log rolling, of combining something that's popular with an unpopular measure, like we saw the tax cut paired with the tax increase.
Interesting.
And part of, you know, why this even went before voters is because the state law requires for the city of Chicago to be able to increase this real estate transfer tax. A majority of voters have to approve. And, you know, real estate industry groups argued, you know, that you couldn't do a tax cut and a tax increase at the same time, according to state law.
Interesting.
And they also just argued, you know, it was too vague, that, you know, simply said, the ballot language itself says addressing homelessness, and that wasn't enough information for voters to be deciding on. And there was, you know, this winding legal battle. It went all the way up to the Illinois Supreme Court. And then the Illinois Supreme Court declined to hear real estate groups' appeal, which cemented its place and that votes will be counted. But that wasn't decided until last week. So there was a lot of, you know, confusion for folks about, you know, where does this stand? And I wonder if that played into, you know, the turnout we saw, or if that was, you know, confusing for voters as they tried to decide, should I be voting for this?
That's really interesting. I can see that being confusing mm-hmm. for people and wondering, okay, is this on the ballot? Is it not? I know I got to do the president thing. Mm-hmm. what else is really important here? So what ended up happening actually yesterday with this?
Yeah, so, you know, the returns that we have so far, with about 98% of precincts reporting, it shows that the Bring Chicago Home referendum is appearing to be headed toward defeat. The opponents, the no votes, were leading with about 54% of the vote compared to just 46% for those voting yes. You know, last night, the opponents and supporters, no one was quite declaring it was over yet, declaring victory or defeat, but they did seem to be, you know, I was at the election night watch party for supporters, and, you know, while they said the fight goes on, there was some acknowledgement of this is not what we wanted to see happen. We have to regroup and rethink our strategy. And while opponents were saying, you know, they weren't really quite celebrating just yet, but saying, you know, so far it underscores that they feel the public agrees that tax increases aren't the route to go to try to solve homelessness in Chicago.
So at the party, at the election night party for Bring Chicago Home, you said you were there. Who did you end up talking to?
Yeah, so there was, you know, tons of supporters from many who were, you know, going out, knocking doors at the polls, educating folks all day. You know, I talked to Alderwoman Maria Haddon, who is one of the main sponsors in city council of this ordinance. She said early in the night she was feeling anxious, but she was really proud that it even made it to this point. Organizers had been trying for over 5 years before Mayor Brandon Johnson was even in office to put this on the ballot, to have a public vote on this issue. This was the first time we've actually seen Chicago voters get a way in. And, you know, while perhaps, you know, maybe this isn't going to pass, that was a decisive, you know, moment in this campaign and victory to have even made it this far. You know, I also talked to folks who personally had experienced homelessness and who were, you know, there, who wanted to really see this pass to be able to help, you know, continue to support programs they benefited from. One of those folks was Patricia Franklin, who she's a grassroots lead for the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless, one of the main groups supporting this. You know, she said she was holding her breath as she was waiting for those results to come in.
When you die, you can't take anything with you. When you leave something, you know, to show that you did care about something other than money. Because money is going to be here always. And it would be nice if you share with those that didn't have, that don't have.
And, you know, one of the other folks I also chatted with was Dixon Romeo, the executive director of Not Me, We. And that's an organization that's focused on combating displacement in the South Shore neighborhood. That neighborhood sees a high, I believe, the highest in Cook County number of evictions. And folks have been, you know, concerned there about displacement with the upcoming Obama Center opening. And, you know, he talked about how, despite the results maybe leaning towards opponents winning, he kind of echoed all Roman Haddon's thoughts that, you know, this put homelessness and discussing solutions and how do we work on this issue to the forefront.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the last 3 months, a lot of people were talking about homelessness that weren't. I think that's a good thing. And so I think, like, yeah, we have to continue that, right? Like, that's the real soul of Chicago, right? Like, that is what we're trying to do. And so I think that, like, as of tonight, like today, it's not fixed, but I think we're closer than we were before. So that's a good thing.
Mayor Brandon Johnson was a supporter of this and put a lot of political capital toward it. What does that mean, do you think, for him if this does end up failing?
Yeah, you know, this was one of his top campaign promises. I think the reason we even saw it be able to get to the ballot was because he was in office and supported this. You know, when organizers tried previously, Mayor Lori Lightfoot, you know, blocked it, and alderpersons couldn't even have enough of them in council to get to hold a hearing on this. And so, you know, his election really did, I think, help pave the way in addition to the years of organizing for this to get to this point. But this was, you know, if it is ultimately defeated, you know, would be a pretty stunning defeat for one of his top campaign promises. Mm-hmm. But it might, the fight, you know, likely isn't over. Supporters have said, you know, their goal is the same, to end homelessness. And I think we'll see, you know, now what route they go, if they're going to try again for November, if they look to a different means of funding this. And, you know, we'll see kind of as they regroup, you know, how, what the next steps are.
Interesting. You talked about the fight for this, for those who are fighting for it, maybe not being over. I am curious how this referendum ended up on the primary ballot this month and not initially just being on the general election ballot in November.
Yeah, you know, that's a good question of what that calculus was. I think supporters wanted to, you know, try and get this on the ballot the first chance they could get and move quickly. And I think that's a big question we have of, will we see this again on the November ballot? Are they going to try again? You know, last night at the supporters election night watch party, Alderwoman Murray Haddon, you know, wasn't saying either one way or another whether that is the case, you know, that the goal is the same, but that there is going to need to be some time to think about the strategy to achieve that goal of securing more funding for homelessness prevention. And so I think that remains to be seen. I think either way, whether it's going on the November ballot or another route, it's still going to face staunch opposition from, you know, real estate groups that oppose it, as we already saw, you know, millions of dollars poured into this fight, you know, a last minute lawsuit. And so I don't think that opposition is going to go away either way come November.
Yeah. So voter turnout is always lower for primary elections than it is for general elections. But the Board of Elections this time around, it is describing the turnout for this primary as shockingly low. In your reporting, are you hearing from folks or seeing numbers about why that might be?
Yeah, I think, you know, part of it was, you know, we tend to have lower turnout, you know, granted all the time during these primary elections. They're just kind of less on people's radar. And I think because it was not a competitive presidential primary on either side, I think a lot of folks in the Board of Elections was pointing to that being a reason why people probably just didn't come out of all feeling like that was decided or that they didn't have to weigh in. And it may be the lowest voter turnout for a presidential primary in at least 80 years in Chicago. I believe by the end of the night last night, it was around 22% of turnout for our 1.5 million registered voters, you know, lower turnout than we've even seen in some recent municipal elections. Wow. And yeah, the young people were, I believe, you know, the group that turned out the least compared to older voters who had high showings. And you know, it may come down to it, though, of, you know, when we have some of these very close races like state's attorney or Bring Chicago Home, that, you know, if there was higher turnout, maybe that could have made a difference for those.
OK, so the primary is over. Votes are still being counted, but we're on Wednesday now. The election season is just starting, though. We got the Republican National Convention coming up in Milwaukee in July, Democratic Convention here in Chicago in August. And then, of course, the general election in November. What is the next thing you are paying attention to now?
Yeah, you know, election season just keeps on going. We're going to have more of this come November. I think definitely, you know, the upcoming RNC and DNC is going to be, you know, huge events. You're going to see the city really, I think, transform as it starts to prepare for that. That's something I know we will all be reporting on as kind of the national stage comes here to Chicago. And in terms of Bring Chicago Home, I'll be really curious to see, you know, what comes next, how supporters regroup, and, you know, what their next strategy will be.
Yeah. Well, Godspeed, Tessa. Tessa Weinberg is a reporter here at WBEZ. Tessa, thank you.
Thanks.
For the full results of all the races on this year's primary ballot, you can go to WBEZ.org. And that's it for today. Thank you, Justin Bull and Sarah Stark, for producing The Rundown, and Ariel Van Clee for editing the show. Brennan Banaszak is our executive producer. Haley Blomquist was the engineer for this episode. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. If you love The Rundown, give us a rating, write us a review. It helps more people find the show. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you tomorrow.